You're listening to RemoteOffice.fm episode 41. This show is about the future of everything. The story behind how technology could shaping our lives easier. I'm your host, Lima Hayati.
Our guest today is founder of Nomad Visa and Anchor Hub. Anchor Hub is a community of co-working and co-living, a place where you can meet freelancers, location independent, growing your network, and get the opportunity. At Anchor Hub, they're also empowering local people to get better life quality as a social innovation center. Before we learn more about Anchor Hub and Nomad Visa, let's listen our sponsor today. RemoteOffice.fm is brought to you today by Running Remote Conference. Running Remote Conference is today's event to build large-scale remote team. Learn more about how to manage remote team, whether managing finance, hiring remote employee, building teamwork, get tactics from fantastic speaker including Buffer, Atlassian, GitHub, GitLab, FlexJobs, Remote.co, Dribble, Melbourne, Empire Clippers, Mindfulness Coach, Hubut, and Webinar Ninja. Visit runningremote.com and use promo code LIMAHAYATI10 to get 10% discount. It's runningremote.com with promo code LIMAHAYATI10 to get 10% discount. Now, let's hear more from Jeff Leflev.
Thank you so much for having here with Remote Office. I'm so happy to bring your story to our listeners. What's your story before you end up at Cambodia?
I'm from Canada, Montreal. I'm French Canadian. I left Canada like in 2010 to go work in France. It was my second time that I was going to live in France. So as an expat, so I was really hooked to the life that being able to travel, to go on a weekend, you know, like in Spain, in Rome, or like in London. So, but at the time, that was in 2005 when I lived as an expat for the first time, that was not really like a digital nomad. That was not a language. That was not part of the vocabulary. So anyway, fast forward to 2013. I quit my job when I was in France, living in the beautiful French Riviera, Nice, between Cannes and Monaco, that normally is supposed to be the dream. And I was working in tech companies. For any geeks, I was a Linux system administrator. I was in a DevOps team. Because I'm a health coder, health system administrator for many years. So anyways, long story short, I quit everything like many digital nomads, and I started to travel. And I knew that I could do many things remotely, but I didn't know what exactly. So I didn't want to do exactly the same job, because normally when you quit, you're kind of fed up already and you don't want to do exactly the same thing the day after. Yeah. But I knew that it was a safety net. Huh? So of course, I read the 4 hours work week. So it's debunking the myths. You know, of course, you can always go back to your previous job. So we're extremely lucky to be able to do that more often when you have like hard skills that you can execute after. So I started travel. I was probably wandering around and finding my way and working on a backlog of some contracts I've done for some clients over the years. And then I was about to continue my trip. Initially, it was a 3 months test to check if I could work remotely. And it was not really digital nomad. I didn't even know the term.
Location abandoned, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I think, well, your radio is remote work, so it's more than it's not the term digital nomad. I think that this term arrived about at the same time, around 2012 and 13. It became like more popular. I was in Sihanoukville in the south of Cambodia. I was supposed to just catch up with an old friend. And I was reading some blogs about the remote work, but there's only few of them, and it's always romanticized, always
the
by the
beautiful beat. Of the remote life.
Not exactly.
The truth.
Exactly. So I was blinded by that, like many people who want to be a digital nomad, signing up for a lot of learning course. So I could have been a victim. I was there by the beach with my laptop in the very restaurant that the person described it. described. The sun is on your screen. You don't see anything. You know, the wind is blowing the sand on your keyboard. The electricity is unstable. The internet is unstable. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's not the dream. That's not the truth. You cannot stay and code and work and bootstrap your business for 6, 7, 8 hours straight or 12 hours now or more. So, and I'm like, why don't I could just start a co-working space by the beach. So that was the aha moment. This is where I got the idea to start a, co-working space. And I wanted to set it up. Because
I like Philippines it. Or...
Well, because this is what happened. Because that's a really good question. Because after the, different events and the girl that I met in Vietnam or whatsoever... heart. and I'm like, okay, I'm out. And I was supposed to go to other countries and explore more. And then I ended up in Cambodia just to catch up with a friend. It was not planned. I didn't even know what was the thing for what temple complex. I'm really bad at history. Now I'm a bit better. But so that's why I ended up there. It could have been in more paradise-like environment like Bali. So yeah. We'll get back to that. So I've decided to start a space there, and I started to work on the idea, on the crunching the numbers, and realize how unfair the wages are, like in Cambodia compared to other countries. Even as a digital nomad or a remote worker, for example, at the time. The monthly salary for a Cambodian webmaster, the yearly salary for a Cambodian webmaster is the same as a monthly salary for an American one. So, and both of them can work remotely. So I thought it was a bit frustrating, but I was comparing not remote job, I was comparing like physical job that you need to be at the office. So of course it's unfair for many reasons, and also the cost of living is not the same. But I was just crunching the numbers and realizing that, hey, if they work remotely, they can, they can make money. They can, like India is doing it a lot. There's lots of people on Upwork and platforms like that. And everyone can do it. And it's very unfair that because of different, the education is quite different. So there's no like good tech universities or a tech environment. Well, not in 2013. So I've decided to have more like a social twist to the co-working space. My mindset was, if we could have the space that it's breaking even, basically by having people who are looking for a co-working space, we could reuse the same space to give workshops and training for locals in Cambodia. So I started to work on this this concept. And then my friend that I was going to catch up with, he said, do you want to go to see Angkor Wat? And I'm like, what's that? I'm really bad in history. So I start to Google a little bit about it. I'm like, wow, yeah, of course, I want to go. Knowing more and more, doing my research about the history, what happened to this country, a lot of suffering, genocide. So the country was pretty much reset like 30 years ago. So the infrastructure, that's why if you're by the beach in Cambodia, it's hard to have like decent internet and stable electricity. Now it's changing a lot, but at like 5 years ago, it was like that. So I came to Siem Reap to work on my business plan, and basically I fell in love with the city. Of course, I met someone also.
How about startup scene and tech scene at Cambodia?
Yeah. So at that time there were none. So I was started to work I knew that I wanted to stay in Siem Reap because I was working on the business plan in cafes, like cafe hopping, and buying no electricity for 2 hours or like unstable internet. So each time I was smiling because I was validating the need. We definitely need a co-working space in Siem Reap. So I was decided to start that. And of course I was trying to connect with the tech scene to see if there's anyone. So I was posting on expat groups and trying to get a network. Each time I was seeing people more than one time working on their laptop in the cafe, I was connecting with them. So I was just want to do a parallel with one of your previous interviews. You interview the person who wrote the co-working handbook.
Ramon Suarez.
So it's funny because that made me smile when I saw that, because that was the only resource available. That was the co-working wiki and this handbook.
Oh, at that time.
So I was reading, it's always like build the community first. You need to do that before having a business. But my experience, well, now lesson learned, but this is what I tried to do. So I've connected with 10 people that were expats living in the town. But by the time we get funding and we're able to start, only 4 of them were still living in Siem Reap.
Oh.
So, because it's a transient destination.
What kind of challenging when you register the co-working space?
Well, that was an interesting journey at the time. Now I want to say that you can do everything online in 45 minutes for the business registration.
Oh.
But at the time, I went to the Ministry of Commerce, which they don't speak English, so I had somebody to translate. They didn't know how to help explain me how to do it. Nobody is filling out forms, so they bring me to see one guy in his kitchen randomly. So literally, the Ministry of Commerce, the guy bring me on his moto, like 20 minutes away, in a place, in a kind of business district, and I was meeting this guy. He's like, okay, you pay $160, you sign here and here and here, and we will sort it out. So I've done it, but that was not really, that was kind of the procedure, because that was the real document, plus probably his commission. I realized like a few years later that this guy was still an employee of Ministry of Commerce, but he was basically, because he's able to speak English, so he was getting that kind of a side business to facilitate that. That's not illegal stuff, it's legal. It's just that he was a facilitator, because the real journey was too complex and nobody in the office were speaking in English. So things have changed a lot. Now they use like a system in the cloud made by a big company in Australia.
Cool.
So it's really, really very, very straightforward. The tax part is more complicated. But their business registration is it's super easy.
So what kind of workshop and event that you had every month? Yes.
So the first year when we opened, we had a lot of workshops. I was so excited about being a so-called like social enterprise. That was a really buzzword at the time. So we called it, under their logo, it was Co-Working Space and Social Innovation Center. So that was really, really important for me to play a role and connect with the local community and try to empower people. And so we had workshops on environment, on technologies. We had a tech fest. We had a full day of like social media training with different people living in Siem Reap that they're able to give training on different topics. So it was an exciting moment, but it's hard to keep the pace with it, because unlike a city where there's a lot of demand for those kind of things, here when you organize an event, you basically need to start over each time to try to get people to attend the event. So you don't have enough a big user base interested in all the topics to be able to have recurring events, unless you work hard all the previous weeks to organize the event. So that's the same thing, basically, that's the same answer as why we didn't have 10 people when we opened the space, because it's a transient destination. The average person is there when they visit Siem Reap and Angkor Wat, they're staying between 3 and 5 days. So the same thing applies for the co-working space as for the events and for accommodation, where we will get there, I guess.
Oh, so you open co-living also?
Yes. I didn't answer completely to your question. So today we do a weekly coding classes. So it's every Saturday. And we have workshops by digital nomads. So when we have somebody who wants to share knowledge, I connect those people with the community. So we try to play a role with that. And in 2018, we have big goals regarding training like that. For example, we will do IoT, Internet of Things. More like that. And workshops on like learning how to learn. Because the education is especially in provinces, not in the capital,
often like job board? Maybe
job board?
Connecting to remote company? Oh.
No, but that would be a really great idea. That would be a great idea, definitely. So yeah, we will give more free training. And so I'm setting this up. It's like a personal mission. I really want to do it. Because like universities are not enough. It's true in the West. It's even more real here. And recently I was giving a small talk at a university about the skills gap. So that's a reality here. So your idea of a job board is definitely good, but most people, Cambodian people, there's few universities and people that they have scholarship or can learn by themselves. They're really up to speed, but the average like university students, 4 years in an IT university, they will need to learn by themselves if they want to catch up with the rest of the world, not even because they have no experience, just because the content and the resources, it's not there yet. So, So I feel like with the co-working space, we have a role to play because you ask about co-living, but one of the things at the co-working space is we have family-style lunch. So at lunchtime, we all eat together and exchange. And one of the biggest frustrations that I have is I see many professionals, remote workers, people that they're location independent, they're happy, you know, they're into well-being, fitness or whatsoever, and they have really nice skills and marketers or I don't know, they manage Facebook ads, they work on the blockchain and all those type of work that it's not taught at universities.
So, how come?
But I mean, like there's no IoT university degree or things like that. There's no
computer science maybe?
Well, computer science, they will not teach you how to create, be a master in Facebook groups, Facebook ads or like a lead generation or marketing funnels. You know, like it's... So
it's for learning me, it's by yourself.
For me, it's a frustration to see that all this talent, those skills, that they are not shared because that's why I want more locals to come and benefit from that, I think, because you can learn by yourself online. If you find your passion on something, let's say, I want to learn more about Facebook ads, and you can have kind of a mentor and learn more and join groups on Facebook, whatsoever, you can make a really good living compared to local average salaries of like $150 per month working in a cafe or less than that. So for me, that's why I have this mission to try to, but of course I cannot create a university or like, or training centers, but I can create a learning hub. So this is what I'm aiming for in 2018.
When you first started as a digital nomad, what's your main challenge? Is it payroll, taxes, or visa?
None of the above, I would say. Because I have maybe a atypical journey because I've created a space instead of continuing traveling. And here, it's quite easy to get a visa and a work permit. So that's more complicated, but it's not impossible, actually. If you have the money, you can definitely do it. So I think it's about $50,000. But to have a...
Well,
you can arrive here...
Taxation? Are you paying the home country taxation or Cambodia?
I can only answer with my lawyer. I'm paying... some countries, they have like rules for double taxation. So you can... you cannot pay tax, or if you prove that you're paying taxes somewhere, if you're a tax resident somewhere, you don't need to pay double taxes.
Yeah.
So,
so you choose your own country.
Yeah. So for me, I'm Canadian, but I'm from Quebec province. And so we have double taxation. Well, we have provincial and federal taxes. And the provincial taxes in Quebec, the laws saying if you don't, you're not in Quebec, you don't pay taxes in the province. So it's kind of the
place that you live. That
yeah, exactly. That but
pay the tax.
But there's different countries that are that they have this rules, like Hong Kong or Estonia or places that. If you don't, if you make business inside the within the country and you make transactions, you need to pay taxes in the country. But if you made this money from the outside, you don't. Well, that's a bit different. But you will not have to pay taxes. In Quebec, is a bit different. So if you're physically inside the country, and even if you earn money from outside, you will need to pay taxes at most places. But if you're physically away, your personal taxes, you don't pay those. That part, but you pay the federal taxes unless you're renounced to your citizenship, or you can prove in some country that you're earning taxes, but you're paying taxes somewhere. For example, in Cambodia, I'm paying tax on salary. My companies are paying taxes as well. Of course, like any good guest, I need to pay my taxes, which is often like a and that's an interesting topic regarding taxes and digital nomads.
Do you think taking second home country it's valuable to digital nomad to grow their business?
Depending on the destinations, I think there's countries that if you stay more there than like a certain number of days, you have to pay taxes in this country, even if you earn your money online. Of course, many people are flying under the radar, and that's the kind of the short-term solution, but it's a real problem. You don't contribute to any economy. Economy, yes, but not into public infrastructures or things like that. I think it's not because digital nomads don't want to pay, it's because it's so complex, and it needs to be easier. It needs to be. And I think like Estonian government are doing like something great about that. But to choose where you should pay your taxes to avoid paying taxes in two different countries, definitely we need something more simple.
How about e-resident? Are you also a resident of Estonia?
No, I'm not. That's interesting.
What do you think of it? What's your point of view?
I think it's great. I know people. I'm not because I know many people who are e-resident. I can do it. It's just it didn't happen. But I really want to do it. Not because it will make a big difference for me, but because I'm casting a vote. And like many people, they get the card. They are really, really excited to be part of something, part of like a place that understands them and give them a voice,
give them a way. With the benefit.
Well, the benefit, my business is based in Cambodia, so I cannot really... but if I had, for example, like I'm doing more consultancy, that would be a good opportunity. So because with the co-working space in a touristic destination, I'm meeting a lot of digital nomads in Southeast Asia. And I have the chance to talk with them a lot with the co-living that we're doing. So I met many people that they have the e-residency from e-Estonia. And definitely it can be good, but 90% of the people that I met, they have the card, but they're not paying taxes in Estonia. They're not having a business in Estonia. They just have the card.
But there's a new policy, I think.
About the digital nomad
visa. Digital nomad visa, yeah.
Yes. So that's something that they are preparing. It was from a meetup with a few different players. So it was the Ministry of Interior with Jobatical, Remote Here, Wi-Fi Nomads, one or two more individual like actors in the remote working digital nomad scene. So they got together and spoke with the Ministry of Interior, the Estonian Ministry of Interior. So they started to work on this Digital Nomad Visa and is banned for 2019. And that will give you access to EU at the same time once you have access. So that's amazing. So I'm really looking forward to know more and try to reach out to them a little bit more. So as you know, I've started a website, nomadvisa.com. Right now, it's mostly a landing page. We want to gather, basically have a group to be heard and to have, basically to have a voice. And I've posted about this digital nomad visa on Facebook, for example. And the Estonian government, the e-residency, they clicked like on the post. So it's kind of a seal of approval that it's true that they're working on it.
So maybe you want taking partnership with them?
I would love to, definitely. But I think, of course, that's one of the only countries doing that. But I think the role of Nomad Visa will be to display and list all the countries and welcoming digital nomads, and they're welcoming those people to be part of their economy. I think it's a clever way to improve any economy.
What do you see from Anchor Hub and Digital Nomad Visa in 5 or 10 years?
Co-working as an action, truly believing it. I'm doing it every day. I'm working 12 hours a day, not 4 hours a week. And I love working. I love what I'm doing. And I'm lucky enough to be surrounded by people doing the same thing. But that being said, like co-living as a business, it's extremely hard in different scenarios. Of course, if you're in Bali or in a big city, like that's a different scenario. But for us, when the average people, they're like, they want a day pass. So like, for example, if they come for a day pass, I need to show around, so why are you in Cambodia? Why you open this space? So I'm starting at zero every time, right? And I do the tour, and they're all excited that we have a co-working and co-living space, which is really awesome.
I'm happy. Different people every day.
I'm happy they are asking, but at the end, if I'm doing it as the founder, I'm here, you know, at $5 a day, you remove the taxes, the electricity and all that, and my time, I'm not making money, that's for sure. With the co-living part, it's different. The co-living, I can make some profit. I can build more community. I can build something with those people, and we all remaining friends. So to answer your question, what I want in 5 years, Anchor Hub, definitely my vision about it is to, and my dream, I think any entrepreneur, we need to have dreams and to have a clear vision, even if it looks like a fantasy. We always try to talk about that, but okay, I'm doing it. So how I see it, I want definitely more rooms. I want to grow co-living and have more serviced apartment setup. And also I want to have more learning center for Anchor Hub, a place to give our talks, have our trainings, and be connected more with a network of spaces doing the same thing. This is how I see it, definitely. And myself, traveling more.
If you're traveling, who's the one that taking care of Anchor Hub?
Now I have my assistant manager, Panchak. She's doing an amazing job. And she's local, Cambodian, overqualified for the job. So that's really good. And she's interested in hospitality and in business, marketing. So we do all of that. So, and of course we have the chance to meet like amazing people. I'm happy you asked about it. So one of the reasons she joined Anchor Hub is because we're not just business minded. We want to have an impact on what we're doing. Because initially I interviewed her for my IT business, and quickly enough, she was mostly interested in Anchor Hub, because it's not like as profit oriented as the IT business. And she knows the problems of the country, and she wants to do something about it. So, for example, every first Sunday of the month, we have something called Hub Talks. It's interviews. So we're interviewing people that can be as a role model for young Cambodians, or they have atypical journeys, or they're women working in something that normally is mostly seen as jobs for men. Mm-hmm. And So yeah, we have done a lot of gender equity trainings and workshops and interviews. So the next one is about vet and taking care of all the vets and the pagodas and monks related to that. And so it's just a good inspiration often for young people, but often like entrepreneurs and people with like really inspiring journeys. So she's in finding the guests, interviewing them, doing the promotion. And, you know, when we do that, it's not with business in mind. It's really, what we mind is the impact that this can have.
It was a fascinating story from Jeff. If you want to learn more about Anchor Hub or want to be participate in Nomad Visa, you can follow him at Anchor Hub with A and H capital. Likewise, you can also follow us at Remote Office. Stay tuned for the next episode with Balsamic.